الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My talk today, inshallah, will be about al-hayd or menstruation. It is so important for every woman, even for men, to teach their wives the rules of menstruation. The definition of al-hayd in Arabic, al-hayd, it is as-sayalan or menstruation literally means running. And shar'an, here according to sharia, the definition of al-hayd, it is refers to the discharge of blood during a woman's state of health, not from giving birth, not because of getting sick. This is the definition of al-hayd. So the hayd means running of the blood in certain time without giving birth, which we call it an-nifas, and without any disease or sickness. Let us now know say what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about the color of the blood of al-hayd, how we recognize the blood of al-hayd. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that to Fatima bint Abi Hubaysh, because كانت تستحاض. The hadith said Fatima bint Abu Hubaysh رضي الله عنها كانت تستحاض. It means she had prolonged bleeding. She bleeds after the time of menstruation. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, if it is the blood of menstruation, it will be dark and recognizable. If it is that, then leave the prayer. If it is other than that, then make ablution and pray. For it is only due to a vein. And in another tradition, قال إنه رقدة من الشيطان. It is a stroke from shaitan. So now we know the color of the blood of menstruation. It is dark. It could be also red, and this is the original color of the blood. Also, the color of the blood of al-hayd or menstruation could be yellow. It is a liquid like a pus. Also, the color of al-hayd, if it happened during the time of al-hayd, it could be a muddy color. A muddy color. And the muddy color means it is intermediate color between black and white, like a dirt. So, if this happened during the time of al-hayd, the regular time which every woman, she knows her time, then we consider this blood is the blood of al-hayd. Okay, the other thing, that there is no certain time for the time of menstruation. Women, they are different. Some women, they stay 5 days, 4 days, 6 days, 7 days, 9 days, 10 days. They are different. But every woman, she knows her time. She knows her period. Then, when the time comes of al-hayd, it is not allowable for the woman to pray or to touch the Quran or to fast during the month of Ramadan or any other fasting. After she finished her time of menstruation, she has to have a shower or ghusl. Then she has to make up what she missed from fasting of the month of Ramadan, and she should not repeat or make up the prayer which she missed. And this is why I explained that last lecture, that Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, كُنَّا نُؤْمَرُ بِقَضَاءِ الصَّوْمِ وَلَا نُؤْمَرُ بِقَضَاءِ الصَّلَاةِ. On the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we were ordered to make up what we missed from fasting, not to make up what we missed from the prayer. And this is the reason why, and this is the answer for the question why women have to make up what she missed from the fasting, not to make up what she missed from the prayer. This is because this was an order from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we talk about al-istihada. Al-istihada, it is prolonged flows of blood, and it is the flowing of the blood outside of the regular time. Outside of the regular time. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّهَا رَكْدَةٌ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. It is stroke from shaitan, or it is from a vein. So it is from some kind of disease or infection can cause all this istihada. So now the women in front of istihada or prolonged flows of blood, there are three types. If the woman, she knows already her time of menstruation, then after this time finished, assume it is 5 days or 6 days or 7 days, then, and still the blood, she is bleeding, you know, outside the regular hair time, then she have to make the shower and start to pray. She have to make wudu ablution for every prayer, and she have to take care of her private parts before making the wudu, to put something to stop the blood from coming out, and then to do the prayer. Then she has to make wudu for each prayer as long as she is in this case, and she has to fast. She has to fast. If she can pray, then she has to fast. And if she can pray and fast, then it is allowable for her husband to have a sexual intercourse with her. She can touch the Quran also after she makes wudu or ablution. So this is about al-istihada. We'll mention some hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about al-istihada. عن عائشة رضي الله عنها أن أم حبيبة بنت جحش شكت إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الدم، فقال امكثي قدر ما كانت تحبسك حيضتك ثم اغتسلي. وكانت تغتسل لكل صلاة. The hadith narrated by Muslim, and the interpretation of the hadith is, narrated Aisha radiallahu anha that Umm Habiba bint Jahsh radiallahu anha, she complained to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the blood which flows behind the menstruation period. It means istihada. It is behind the menstruation period. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, keep away. It means from the prayer. Keep away from the prayer the length of time that your menses prevented you. Then take a bath, a ghusl, and offer the prayer. And she used to take a bath for every prayer. She did that. It is recommended to do that. But it is not farz, because the Prophet did not tell her to have a ghusl or take a bath for every prayer. But it is recommended. He told her in another riwaya or hadith that I like that, but it is not fard for her to do that. But if it is easy for her to delay dhuhr till the time of asr, and this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in another hadith, this woman, she is in istihada. If she can delay the dhuhr close to the time of asr and then take a shower, and to make the asr, the dhuhr and the asr, and delay maghrib till the time of isha, just a little before the time of isha, and make a shower and to do maghrib and isha time, this will be more beloved to me. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. But it is not a fard. It is recommended to do that, but the woman, she is in case of istihada, bleeding outside her regular time, she doesn't have to make a shower for each prayer. Also, Umm Atiyya radiyallahu anha, she said, كُنَّا لَا نَعُدُّ الْكُدْرَةَ وَالصُّفْرَةَ بَعْدَ الطُّهْرِ شَيْئًا. رواه البخاري وأبو داود. أم عطية, she said, we considered it nothing as impure the muddiness and yellowness of the fluids after purification. And the hadith narrated by al-Bukhari. So after your time finished of menstruation, if you see a yellow fluid or a muddy fluid, don't consider it najasa. Just you have to clean yourself and make the wudu and pray. Of course, after you have a bath from the menstruation. Also, another hadith about menstruation, which is important. The hadith عن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه أن اليهود كانوا إذا حاضت المرأة فيهم لم يأكلوها, فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, اصنعوا كل شيء إلا النكاح. رواه مسلم. The interpretation of hadith narrated أنس رضي الله عنه that the Jews used not to eat with a woman during her menstruation period, so that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, do everything else apart from sexual intercourse with your wife. And the hadith narrated by Imam Muslim. From this hadith it is clear that the man can do everything except sexual intercourse. He can kiss his wife, hug his wife, do whatever he wants, and just not to touch her private parts. And the more clear hadith about that from Aisha radiyallahu anha, قالت, she said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يأمرني فأتذروا فيباشرني وأنا حائض. الحديث متفق عليه, means narrated by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, and the interpretation of the hadith is narrated Aisha radiyallahu anha that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to order me to put an izar or something like a sheet And then cares me while menstruation. يباشرني, he touched her during her menstruation after she covered her private parts or the lower parts of her body with a cloth or a sheet. Okay, what is the regulation or the rules if someone Muslim he had a sexual intercourse with his wife during her menstruation period? First of all, it is not allowed to do that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيطِ يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيطِ. I'm sorry, the ayah is ويسألونك عن المحيط قل هو أذى فاعتزلوا النساء في المحيط. They ask you about the menstruation, tell them it is a disease or it is harmful, then you have to stay away from women if they have during their menses. Okay, so it is order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to stay away from women during her menses. It means not to have sexual intercourse, not like the Jews they did. They used not to eat, not to talk to the woman, not to stay in the same house, you know. But the Islam is جَاءَ بِالْحَنِفِيَّةِ السَّمِحَةِ, and Islam is so easy, and just you can do everything with your woman during her menses except touching her. It means except having sex with her. But if someone did that, you know, out of his weakness or whatever, what he should do? The hadith narrated عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه عنهما عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال في الذي يأتي امرأته وهو حائط قال يتصدق بدينار أو بنصف دينار. الحديث رواه الخمسة وصححه الحاكم وابن القطان. The interpretation of the hadith is narrated عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said regarding a husband who has a sexual intercourse with his wife during her menstruation period, he should give out as a atonement or as a fine or as a charity 1 dinar or half dinar. The hadith is narrated by the 5 scholars of hadith. It means the dinar, how much is the dinar? Dinar, it doesn't equal $1. By the way, 1 dinar equal, the dinar is a weight, is a weight equal about approximately about 4 grams of pure gold. So if someone had sex with his wife non-intentionally to and he believed that this is haram, but he just did it, he has to pay a charity equal to the price of 4 grams of pure gold or half dinar, 2 grams of pure gold. But if someone he believes that having sex with his wife during her menses is halal, if he believes that this is halal, this is a big sin, and maybe he will become a kafir because he will be on the opposite of the Quran. But unless he is ignorant, we have to teach him and show him the evidence that having sex or a sexual intercourse with your wife during her menses is haram and forbidden. And if he still denies that and he said, I can do it, it is not haram, then he will become non-Muslim. Also, for the woman, she is doing Hajj during her menses. What she have to do, what it is allowed for her to do, and what it is not allowed for her to do. This hadith will explain the rules. عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت لما جئت سرف حدت فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم افعلي ما يفعل الحاج غير ألا تطوفي بالبيت حتى تطهري. الحديث متفق عليه. And the interpretation of the hadith narrated Aisha رضي الله عنها, she said, when we came to a place called Sarf, I ministrated, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told me, do what a pilgrim does, except that you don't do tawaf, go in circle about around the Kaaba, it is forbidden. That's it. Till you become pure from menstruation. So this is what, and the hadith narrated by Al-Bukhari and the Muslim. So if a woman, she went to Hajj and she had her menses like Aisha radiallahu anha, what you have to do, just be like Aisha. Subhanallah. Don't be worried. Don't be sad. Don't be upset. Just do everything except going around the Kaaba, because around going, making tawaf around the Kaaba, it needs to be you have wudu, you have to be pure, even you have to have wudu, okay, because it is kind of prayer, but it is allowable during the tawaf to talk. So at-tawaf around the Kaaba, it needs to be pure, okay, even from al-hadath al-asghar. Okay, then you do everything except tawaf around the Kaaba, and when you become pure from your menses, then you can make your tawaf later. Okay, now the woman giving birth. What is the rule of the woman giving birth? What we call it an-nifas. The definition of an-nifas, of the, or the blood coming after giving birth, it is the blood flows from the private parts of the woman because of giving birth. Even if the baby came out, she delivered the baby, dead baby, whatever, still we consider this is a giving birth situation. What is the time of that? The maximum time for a woman to stay if she is bleeding after giving birth, it is 40 days maximum time, but there is no minimum time. If she finished her bleeding, or the blood stopped after any time, she have to have a shower, take a bath, and start to pray. You don't have to wait for 40 days, because so many women, they misunderstand that. They think that they have to stay 40 days. No, you don't have to stay 40 days. You stay 40 days, this is the maximum. If you're still bleeding for 40 days, then you can stay 40 days. But if your blood stopped after 1 day, after 2 days, after 10 days, even after 1 hour, some women, they don't have bleeding after giving birth, then you have to have a shower and start doing your prayer, start fast, start doing everything. Okay, now I'm talking what is forbidden for a woman during her menses or after giving birth. What is forbidden for her? First of all, it is forbidden for them to fast. It is not allowed for a woman during her menses to fast, and also the woman she gave birth and she is still bleeding. And if she fasts, her fast will be invalid, and she has to make up what she missed from Ramadan. Also, it is forbidden for them to pray, and we mentioned that before, that we mentioned the hadith that معاذة رضي الله عنها, she said, سألت عائشة رضي الله عنها فقلت ما بال الحائض تقضي الصوم ولا تقضي الصلاة, قالت كان يصيبنا ذلك مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فنؤمر بقضاء الصوم ولا نؤمر بقضاء الصلاة. معاذة رضي الله عنها, she asked عائشة رضي الله عنها, she said, why the woman during her menses she makes up what she missed from fasting and she doesn't make up what she missed from prayers? Aisha, she answered, she said, this used to happen during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we were ordered to make up the fast, not to make up the prayers. The hadith narrated by the group. Also, it is forbidden for a woman during her menses or during after giving birth and still bleeding to have sexual intercourse with her husband. And this is from the Quran and from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I mentioned the ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah. It is ayah number 222 that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيطِ, they ask you about menses. قُلْ هُوَ أَذَنْ, say it is harm, it is harmful. فَاعْتَزِلُ النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيطِ, don't touch women during their menses. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ, don't come close to them, it means don't touch them sexually till they become pure. فَإِذَا تَطَهَّرْنَا, and if they became pure, if they purified themselves, have a shower, then you can touch them. فَأْتُوهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهِ, you can come to them from the place which Allah ordered you to come to them, not from the anal, from the place which can give you birth. Okay, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِرِينَ. And the point here now is very important point. If your wife, she were during her menses and she finished the time of her menses, still you cannot touch her till she had a shower, till she had a ghusl, till she wash herself. Okay, even if she finished the menses, it is not allowable for her, for you, to touch her sexually till she have the ghusl and to clean herself and to wash herself, complete shower after the menstruation. And this is the meaning what Allah said, فَإِذَا تَطَهَّرْنَا, فَإِذَا تَطَهَّرْنَا, then if they purify themselves, then you can touch them. Okay, this is just a little bit about the menstruation and about giving birth, and now I just focus about something else. It is about the prolonged flows of blood or istihada. We said that the istihada, it is the flowing of blood coming out from the woman, from her private parts, after his regular time. Okay, now assume that a girl, she was just a girl, and when she reached the age of puberty and started her menses, she started with istihada. She started bleeding all, you know, so many days. She have no experience. She doesn't know what, how many days her time. So what she have to do? She cannot stay forever like that. Then the other hadith explained that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to Fatima bint Hubaysh, and she doesn't know her menses. Even if a woman, she forgot about her time and she had istihada, what she have to do? She have to stay only 7 days. 7 days maximum, and then she have to take the shower and starting to pray and do every all duties she have to do. This is about the height or menstruation. And now if your sister Layla, you can put the questions, the last question you sent to me, put it in the background, and then we try to answer it inshallah. Okay, who will read the question? Sister Anita, is Sister Anita here? Okay, Sister Anita, read the first question, please.
Question number one, what is istihada and how can a woman tell if she has it?
Okay, in the lecture we defined the istihada, and I just will add something for that. I told you the women in front of the istihada, there are three kinds of women. If the woman, she knows her time, then of regular menstruation, then she have to after this time to take a shower and start to pray and fast and to put something in her private parts like a cotton to prevent the flowing of blood, and she have to make a wudu for each prayer. And it is allowable for her husband to have a sex with her because she can do prayer. This the first kind of woman. If she doesn't know, if the woman, she doesn't know, it's the first time for her to have a menses, and she is in prolonged flows of blood in istihada, then she have to stay 7 days. The Prophet said that. 7 days, then she have to take a shower and do the same thing. Or if the woman can differentiate between the color of the menstruation blood and the prolonged flows blood, which the color of the blood during menstruation, it is dark, as the Prophet ﷺ said, it is dark and it is recognizable. Then the other color of the blood will be a light color. After the time of menses, then will be considered this is istihada, wallahu a'lam. Second question, Sister Anit.
Question number two. If a woman thinks that her menses has stopped due to her calculation on a regular basis, yet not positive if it is over, is she supposed to cleanse herself after hours of no bleeding and pray?
Okay. After the woman, she finished her regular days or time of menses, she have to put something to check her private part, to put something like a cotton or whatever, and if it comes out clean, then it means her menses has been finished. She have to take the shower and start to do the prayer and fast. And this is what Aisha radiallahu anha, she told the women, حتى تخرج القصة بيضاء. Till القصة means the little piece of cloth or whatever or cotton. If it comes from your private part, clean, white, there is no dirt, nothing, it means your menses has been finished. And then you have to start to take the shower and to pray. Third question.
Question number three. If a woman misses Salat because of travel and or obligations in the home, and then her menses begins before she made Salat, is it upon her to make up the Salat she missed after she is clean?
Okay, I understood that a woman, she was traveling during her menses, and then her menses finished. She was traveling and she could not do the prayer. Because she was traveling, she cannot have a shower, whatever. But her menses stopped during the journey. Then, the time of the prayer, if she finished, assume she finished her menses on the time of al-dhuhr or al-asr, then it's obligatory for her to do this prayer, you know. So when she take a shower, she come home, back, she come back to home, she have to take the shower and she have to pray because she could not take the shower. But, okay. Let me tell you something here. If you are in a state of janaba and you are traveling, okay, if you are in a state of janab and you are traveling, like your menses has been finished, you cannot take a shower, you have to make tayammum. Okay, you have to make tayammum. You purify yourself by dust, which is instead, because the tayammum will replace, we said that in the last lecture, that tayammum will replace the ghusl and wudu. Then you still have to do it. Okay? You still have to pray. There is no excuse not to pray after you finish your ministration. Okay? Then in this case, you have your you have the dust everywhere, you make it tayammum, and the earth is considered as a mosque for all Muslims, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Ju'alatiya al-ardu masjidan wa turbataha tahur." All the earth, it was made for me as a mosque, as a place to pray, and turbataha, it means the dust of this earth is a tahur. It's purification. You can purify yourself with the dust, a tayammum. So the woman in this case have to make tayammum if she cannot make the shower, have a shower. Okay, but if she can take the shower, she have to do it. If she cannot, then she have to make a tayammum and pray. There is no any excuse. My first answer, it was not because of that. My first answer was for the woman, her menses happened during a time of prayer and she did not do the prayer and her menses started. Like her menses started during after dhuhr, assume after dhuhr, and she did not do dhuhr. Then after she became pure, she has to make the dhuhr time because she did not do it and her menses started, she missed the dhuhr prayer, you know, because there is one moment was she was pure on the time of dhuhr. She did not do the prayer of dhuhr till her menses started. Then when she became pure again, she have to make the dhuhr time or asr time, whatever time her menses started, and she arrived, she was pure when the time of the prayer comes, then she have to make this prayer. Okay, so my first answer would work for the woman, her menses started and the woman, she did not do a certain prayer, then she have to do this prayer when she became pure. But for the traveling woman, her menses started, she can still can pray. She can make a tayammum and pray. Wallahu a'lam. Next question.
What is the difference between seeking forgiveness for sins and repentance?
Okay. If you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive your sins, It means you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to take you by your sense, not to take you to account, but by the sense. And you ask Allah for repentance. By asking Allah repentance, then you ask Allah to help you to repent, to stop doing sin. And repentance, if you repented, it means you asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you also. But the repentance, it means also you promise that you will not do it again. Okay? Because the repentance, it means you are sad because you did the sin, and you have intention not to do it, and you ask Allah to forgive it. This includes the three things are included in the repentance. And no one can repent to Allah except by permission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah allowed you to repent, you repent. And this is in Surah Tawbah, the Surah of Repentance. Allah mentioned that. He said, ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُوا. About the three companions, which they did not go to the battle of Yarmouk, and they were healthy and just they did not do it. Allah said He repented on them so that they can repent. So it means that you need repentance from Allah firstly to repent to Allah. You cannot repent to Allah till Allah firstly will give you the opportunity to repent, will give you a repentance, you know. ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ so that لِيَتُوبُ. Okay, so this is something about repentance, and this is a big subject. Inshallah, maybe we'll make it another time a lecture about repentance. Wallahu a'lam.
How long after having a baby can a woman wait before assuming salat?
I explained that if her blood stops any time before 40 days, even after 1 hour, even some women, they have no any blood, they don't bleed even after giving birth, then they have to do the prayer after the blood stopping. After the blood stops, then we have to take the shower. The maximum time is 40 days. If the blood flows for 40 days, then after 40 days, she have to have a shower and start doing the prayer, and she have to just do it like istihada. After 40 days, it will become for her like istihada, and we explained that in the lecture. Allah.
Is it permissible to play pool on a computer?
What is this game? I don't know this game.
I'm not sure either, Sheikh. I don't play games.
Okay, go to next question, inshallah.
Okay, Sheikh Morsi, Sister Leila says to tell you that pool is a game played with a stick and balls.
This game which you push the balls with the stick to make the balls go to a certain circle?
Yes, she says that's it.
In this game, without gambling, without money, without anything, they can do that, inshallah. If it is without gambling, it is okay.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Next question. Can a woman touch the Quran when on menses?
No, the woman cannot touch a Quran during her menses. It is not allowable for a woman having menses to touch the Quran, and this is the opinion of the majority of the scholars. Wallahu a'lam. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he said, لا يمس القرآن إلا طاهر. No one touches the Quran except a طاهر, is one who is purified. And the hadith, it is رواه النسائي والدارقطني والبيهقي والأثرم. And this hadith, it is was accepted from the majority of the scholars. Wallahu a'lam.
Can a woman make dua when on menses?
Yes, a woman, she can make dua during her menses, of course. She can make dua any time. Now.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Sheikh Morsi, I think this is it for Right now, Sister Leila says to tell you that we have questions from the floor. So, Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Morsi, Assalamu alaikum.
Shukran, Sister Anita, Jazakumullah khairan, and Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, if someone have a question, I'm still here. Okay, if the book contains only the translation of the meaning of the Quran, this is not a Quran. If the book only have the translation, only the translation of the meaning of the Quran, this is not considered a Quran. If the book have the text, the Arabic original Quran, beside the translation, then it is a Quran. Wallahu a'lam. The first time of Asr is the most correct opinion, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he disliked to delay Asr حتى إصفرار الشمس till the sun becomes so yellow or going to be red. So the first time of Asr is the most correct opinion. Wallahu a'lam. Wa iyyak. Yeah, okay. For our brother or sister, I don't know, he or she missed the answer. I told you that if the book you talk about have only the translation of the meaning of the Quran, the translation of the meaning of the Quran, it is not a Quran. It is just a translation of the meaning. Okay? But if the book of the translation of the meaning of Quran have the original Arabic Quran, the original text, then it takes the rules of Quran, then the woman cannot touch it. Okay? Jazakallah khairan. About the question of Sister Layla, what time does Isha end? Is it midnight? No. The end of the Isha time is Fajr time, not midnight. Actually, the midnight, this is the time of Isha, the proper time of Isha. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he delayed the Isha time till close the midnight. And he said, لولا أن أشق على أمتي إن هذا لوقتها. He said, this is the time of Isha. This is the proper, it means the preferable time of Isha, to delay the Isha. Close to midnight, close to midnight. Okay? So the Isha time have three times. The first time of Isha, which is allowable time. It is allowable time to make the Isha after, you know, when it starts, when the collection of stars started, this is the time of Isha. عند اشتباك النجوم. Okay, the preferable time, it is close to midnight, to delay it. The dislike time, it is still to delay it till Fajr, but it is still Fajr. The Isha time, it is still Fajr time. Okay, but it is dislike to delay it till that time. Okay, but if you did the Isha time after midnight, it's okay, you did it on the time. But it is not, it is makruh, or it is dislike to delay it just till Fajr. And it is makruh, dislike to sleep before you do the Isha time. Okay? It is dislike or prohibited to sleep before the Isha, you doing your Isha prayer. So the Isha time, it is till Fajr, not till midnight. Okay, next question from Sister Islami. She says, after making wudu, should the feet be covered with socks or slippers when walking from the place of wudu to the place of salah, or it is okay to walk barefoot? It's okay, Sister Islami, to walk barefoot, okay? it's okay. Nothing. Who told you that you have to wear something? Who told you that? Okay? We should not imagine something which did not come from Hadith. The Prophet did not say anything about that. You have wudu, you can walk in your barefoot and go to and make your salat. Even if there is a dirt, even if there is a sand, it doesn't matter. Okay? Because the dust is pure. The dust is pure. Okay? So you don't have to wear anything. Jazakumullah khairan. Okay? Another from Michelle. There is a certain time during Asr that we should not pray. How can we tell when it's not an allowable time to pray Asr? No. You see, Michelle, you said something like a fact, but it is not true. You can do Asr any time between Dhuhr, between Asr time till sunset. You can do Asr time any time between the beginning time of Asr till the end time of Asr, which is sunset. Okay? But it is not recommended. It is disliked. It is makruh. It is bad to delay Asr till sunset. But if it happened, you did the Asr on the time. Okay? So there is no certain time during Asr time that we should not pray. Okay? The fard prayer. But if you did Asr time, okay, maybe you're asking about extra prayer. If you did Asr time, then it is not allowable to do to pray an extra prayer, unreasonable prayer, unconditioned prayer after Asr. And this is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لا صلاة بعد العصر حتى تغرب الشمس. There is no prayer after us till the sun is set. But if there is a certain prayer, conditioned prayer, like you enter the mosque after Asr time, you did the Asr, and you enter the mosque after Asr time, and we have now two hadith. Hadith says you cannot do don't pray after Asr time. You already did Asr. And another hadith said, if you enter the mosque, you have to greet the mosque. You do two rak'ah, salutation of the mosque, or greeting of the mosque. Then, which one now we will apply? Now the ulama, they have differences about that. Because we have two hadith, they contradict each other. One, it tells you, if you enter the mosque, you do two rak'ah, greeting of the mosque, tahiyatul masjid. And the one who said, don't do any prayer after Asr prayer. Then some ulama, they said we cannot do greeting of the mosque after Asr prayer because of the hadith saying that don't pray after Asr. And some of them, they said we have to do it because the Prophet said whenever you enter the mosque you have to do two rak'ah. Okay, the most opinion which I believe in it, that you have to do it because this is a condition, this is a special prayer. Tahiyat al-Masjid, this is a special prayer. You have to do it. And the proof of that even if you enter the mosque during the khutbah, during the imam giving the lecture of al-Jum'ah on Friday, you still have to do it. And see, it shows you the importance of the greeting of the mosque. Okay? And even on the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when one of the companions entered the mosque during the khutbah, the lecture of the Prophet, and he sat down, the Prophet ﷺ, he told him, stand and do two rak'ah. And he tells us, whenever any one of you enters the mosque, he should do two rak'ah before he sits. And this is the opinion of Imam Shafi'i, and this is a conditioned prayer. It is, there is a reason for the prayer. Another example, assume you have to take a decision after Asr prayer and you have to do istikhara, two rak'ah, istikhara, to ask Allah to give you a consultation. The two rak'ah, we could consultation. You ask Allah if it is good for me to do that or not. And you have to do it after Asr because you have to take the decision after Asr to choose to do this or not to do it. Then it is a conditioned prayer. So the most correct explanation to make the two hadith works together, that the hadith says don't pray after Asr, it means if the prayer, there is no reason for the prayer, just extra prayer, just nafli prayer. But if there is a reason, like to do enter the mosque or to do two rak'ah istikhara, then there is a reason for that, and then you have to do it. Wallahu a'lam. So that the people, when they worship the sun, they make a prostration and sujood, and the shaitan wants the sujood happen to him. So the shaitan puts his two horns around the circle of the sun at the time of sunrise and sunset. So at that time it is prohibited or it is dislike to do extra prayer. This is for extra prayer, for nafl prayer. But if you did not do the Asr prayer, you still have to do it, because this is a fard. And the dalil or the proof of that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man adraka, alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, man adraka raka'atan min al-asri qabla an taghruba ash-shamsi faqad adraka as-salah. The one who realized to make one raka'ah before sunset from Asr, he did the prayer on the time. Yeah, he disliked to do that, but the Prophet said he caught the prayer. He did it on the time. If you could do one raka'ah from Asr time before sunset, and then the sun was set on the second raka'ah, still you did the Asr on the time, but it is very makruh, dislike to do that. But it is forbidden to do extra prayer, not the fard prayer. Wallahu a'lam. Any other question? Yeah. This is istishara. Istikhara, okay. Michelle, istikhara, this is the two rak'ah you ask Allah. The other one, you ask people for advice, we call it istishara, consultation. But istikhara, consultation with Allah. Okay? Istishara, consultation with the people. And it is allowable to ask for consultation from the people. And Nabi, there is a saying, it said, مَا خَابَ مَنْ اِسْتَشَارَ. The one who makes consultation, he will not fail. Wallahu a'lam. Okay, let me, JazakumAllah khair, let me read the question so that it will be recorded. Okay. Can you stop typing so I can read the question, please? The question says, from Sister Abdullah, I prefer to pray. Okay. I cannot read the question because you typing. I want anyone to read the question, please.
Sister Abdul says, I prefer to pray Al-Shifa and Al-Witr after Salat Al-Isha directly, but sometimes I wake up before Salat Al-Fajr and try to make Salat two raka before Azan Al-Fajr, but I don't make Witr again because I know there is no two Witr in one night. And she says, so is that okay? Jazakallah khair.
Sister Abdullah, you did the right thing. If you did the witr before you sleep and you woke up before Fajr, you still can do pray. You don't have to make another, you should not do another watr, because it is prohibited to pray two watr on one night. So it's okay. Jazakumullah khair. Read the question, Sister Anida, from Brother Hussein.
Brother Hussein says, if the imam does not have wudu and leads the prayer, are the people's prayers accepted?
Yeah, the prayer of the people, it will be accepted, because unless they don't have wudu too.
Okay, Sister Islami says, Surat 107, Ayat 5-7 says, and woe to those who delay their salat from the fixed times, those who do good deeds only to be seen of men, or refuse even the smallest kindness. What does this mean, to refuse even the smallest kindness?
Okay, I think she about Surah Al-Ma'un. أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدع اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراؤون ويمنعون الماعون. يمنعون الماعون, they prevent or they stop helping, you know, they can help, they can help, but they don't help. Like if your neighbor, he needs something or she needs something, you should help. Okay, she needs to borrow a container from you, whatever, you should help your neighbor for little things they need. Okay, so this is a very important surah, which it tells us, you know, subhanallah, in the beginning of the surah he said araita alladhi yukadzibu bid-deen. He considered this is the one who denied the deen. These people, they don't give help. You have to give help to your brother, your sister, your neighbors, even if he is a kafir and he needs some help, you should help him. Okay, wallahu a'lam. Second question from brother host, sister Anita.
Yes, brother host says, if we join salah late and we missed a couple of rakat, do we stand and pray the rakat we missed after the first taslim or second taslim from the imam?
I did not understand your question, brother host, sorry. How the imam will make two taslims? Who will make the first taslim and who will make the second taslim? It should be one taslim, right? The imam will make two taslim. Okay, I understood it now. Of course, after the two taslim, okay? After the imam say assalamu alaikum from to the right and assalamu alaikum to the left, you mean that? Okay, then after the second taslim, okay, you make what you missed after the second taslim, after the, because you have to follow the imam till he finish the prayer, okay? And the first taslim, according to the majority of the ulama, you have to do the two taslim, okay? Unless except the Imam Abu Hanifa, he said the prayer will be finished after the first taslim, but the most correct opinion of the majority, the imam will finish after the second taslim. So you have to wait up for the second taslim. It just will take 3 seconds. Jazakallah khairan, brother Hoss. Next question from Michelle, sister Anita.
Michelle says, if someone apostates from Islam and returns back, is he still considered to be a kafir? Is that sin forgiven if the shahada was done again and tawbah made?
If someone, he left Islam, he became murtad, wal'iyadu billah, we ask Allah to protect all of us from that and make us die on the state of Islam. But if he repented to Allah, Allah will accept his repentance inshallah, and we ask Allah to forgive him. He have to make repentance, make extra prayer. He doesn't have to repeat everything he missed during he was a kafir or murtad. He just have to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and come back and make repentance and ask for forgiveness. And this happened on the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahu a'lam.
Okay, Sheikh Morsi, Sister Islami has another question. It says, this ummah is helped by Allah because of its weak and feeble members, because of their supplication, their prayers, and their sincerity. What does this hadith mean if the qadr of Allah cannot be changed by dua?
Okay. People, sometimes, they misunderstand the qadr. How we make dua if everything is already has been written, you know, so why we make dua? Why you pray to Allah? The answer is very simple. That your dua itself, it is from Qadr. Your dua and your prayer, it is part from the Qadr. Okay? Allah, He knows that you will make dua. And then He reduced or he accepted it. So your dua, it is a Qadr. Okay? Like if you become sick, you take a medicine. If you become sick, you go to the doctor and you take a medicine. Okay? You believe that you have to do it, right? Then, because the medicine is part from Qadr. Okay? So there is no contradiction between to make the dua and between Qadr, because the dua itself is Qadr. And in another hadith it said that the dua, it comes up, it goes up to the sky while the calamity coming from the heaven. And the dua and the calamity, they fight together. And if your dua is strong enough, more than the calamity, it will defeat or stop the calamity completely, or at least it will reduce the power of the calamity. So both they are from the Qadr. The dua is from Qadr. Okay? And this is happened on the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he was to enter, going to enter with his companion a city, and they heard that al-Ta'un, the plague, the disease of the plague was there. Then he did not enter. And he asked the Sahaba, did anyone hear anything about that? Then one of the Sahaba, he came, he said, yes, ya Amir al-Mumineen, I hear that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if there is a plague in a city, don't enter. And if you are there, if you are out of the city and you hear that this city, there is the disease of plague is there, don't enter. And if you are there inside the city and the plague is there, don't leave. Subhanallah, don't leave. And then Umar, he was decided to do it even before he listened to the hadith. And one of the Sahaba, he told him, Ya Umar, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, afirarum min qadarillah, are you trying to escape from the qadar of Allah? You know? Then Umar, he answered him with a wisdom. He told him, نَفِرُّ مِنْ قَدَرِ اللَّهِ إِلَى قَدَرِ اللَّهِ. We escape from the Qadr to another Qadr. So you have to communicate with the Qadr. You defend the Qadr with another Qadr. You defend the disease with the medicine. You defend your enemy with the weapon. You have to prepare yourself. You have to have a son, you have to have him to marry. You go to marry to have a son. You cannot stay at home and say, I want a son. Okay? You have to go and marry. Then you seek a children. Then all this qadr, you are hungry, you have to go and eat. Okay? Then you make dua. And this dua will benefit you. It will stop some qadr. And the dua itself is qadr. Wallahu a'lam.
Sheikh Morsi, can you explain the dangers of a person constantly rejecting and questioning Allah's decree? They refuse to believe that they cannot change His decree.
The one who denies the Qadr is a kafir, is unbeliever. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained that in Surah Al-Qamar, the Surah of the Moon. He said, كل شيء خلقناه بقدر. كل شيء خلقناه بقدر. Everything we have created it with a qadr, with a pre-destination. Allah decided everything already. It is written already. So we have to believe in the qadr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said in this surah, ذوقوا مس سقر. It will be said to the unbeliever in the hellfire, ذوقوا test مس the touch of سقر, and سقر is جهنم, is the hellfire. Because إن كل شيء خلقناه بقدر, because everything we have created it with a qadr and with a hikmah, and Allah already has decided everything. But this will make you afraid. You have to work hard because you don't know what your qadr. And since you don't know what our qadr is, then we have to work. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the Sahaba when they asked him about the qadr. They said, "Ya Rasulullah, if everything has been written, then why we have to do a lot of things and the ibadah?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I'malu, work, do good deeds. فَكُلٌّ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. Everyone will be easy for him. His qadr. What is Allah made it easy for him? The people of the fire, it will be easy for them to do the deeds of the people of the hellfire. The people of al-Jannah, Allah will make it easy for them to do the deeds of Ahlul Jannah. We ask Allah to make us from Ahlul Jannah and make us easy the deeds of Ahlul Jannah. Ameen."
Sister Amina Fresno is asking, "If I think I made all my rakats but I'm not sure, what do I do?"
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he answered your question, Sister Amina, that you leave the doubt. And what is the doubt? The one you think you are not sure, then consider it is you did not do it, and then complete your prayer. Assume you don't know, you did 3 rak'ah or 4 rak'ah. Then the doubt here, it is in the 4th rak'ah. Okay? Then leave the doubt and consider yourself made 3 rak'ah, and then make another 4 rak'ah, and then you make sujood as-sahw. Wallahu a'lam. Okay, inshallah, I will stop here. I just like to say shukran wa jazakumullahu khayran for al-ukht Layla wa al-ukht Anida, and for all our brothers and sisters, they came and they listened. جزاكم الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And I love all of you in the sake of Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to meet each other in Al-Jannah. Ameen.